Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Live from the 100th PGA Championship at Belle Reve Country Club and the National Car Rental Studios, it's Mark Reardon.
When you stop your backswing at the top to look at the position of your hands, there are two things you learn. How many hands you have and which hand has the glove on it.
Now, back to Mark Reardon on your official PGA Championship information station, KMOX.
What a great day out here at Belle Reve Country Club at the National Car Rental Studio. We're having an awesome time. I've been here all day since about 9 o'clock this morning. Some great, great golf on the course, but there are spots right now, if you're still coming out here this afternoon, to see some of the big names come through. We are sitting right adjacent to the 18th hole fairway, and I just stepped out at the top of the hour to see a grouping that did not have very recognizable names, but easy access. Now, we still haven't had Jordan Spieth come through and some of the other big names. And, of course, John Daly's on the course right now. He is a favorite here in St. Louis, so he'll get a big reception. And those crowds do tend to follow some of the big names. I'm waiting on Tom Ackerman to come up here and visit me. He may be stuck in a crowd. There was an opportunity. Greg Hewitt from our sister station, KZK, and I were hanging out, walking around the golf course. And we, because we wanted to see Tiger, everyone wants to see Tiger. It's amazing. You'd think that Jason Day, or I guess that was Jason's with Phil, that Rory McIlroy was a nobody compared to the reception that Tiger gets on this golf course. It's quite amazing. And he did okay. He recovered after a couple of rough holes to start a bogey and a double bogey to finish at even. So hopefully we're going to get here with Tom. But in the meantime, there was a guy named Michael Block who went to Parkway Central, and he teed off first this morning and did okay as well on this course. And Tom Ackerman had a chance to talk with him earlier today.
Michael Block joins us on KMOX at 6:50 this morning. You hit the first shot in the PGA Championship. How did that feel to the St. Louisan?
You know, it's 100% me living on some clouds, living the dream right now. Having that honor was something I thought I would never, ever, ever get. And to have that honor was amazing, and it actually turned out good. I didn't top it or hit any duck hooks or anything like that. I actually piped it down the middle. I did go with the driver rather than the 3-wood just because the head's a lot bigger.
You did pipe it down the middle, and the crowd gave you a great acknowledgement, and that was a driver, wasn't it?
It was a driver. 3-wood was the plan all week, right? I mean, I never hit a driver one time on that tee box. And while I was warming up, I was a little nervous, and I wasn't hitting my 3-wood that good, and I was hitting my driver good, so I'm like, I got on the first tee. And normally, you know, with your caddy, you're like, hey, we're going with our game plan. I'm like, I'm sorry, but I'm hitting driver right now.
So did you catch your breath walking down the fairway? What was that walk like?
It felt so good. Honestly, the rest of the day, I felt very comfortable. I mean, I felt remarkably comfortable all day long out there. My pairings couldn't be any better. Fox and Pepperell are absolutely two of the nicest gentlemen in the world, and they treated me like one of them, and it was fantastic.
What was the response like from family and friends just this entire week, and how many were out there?
It's been unbelievable. I have a lot of new friends out here, and my son, that whole story with my son, I keep on walking down the fairways, and he's getting autographs, and he's doing interviews as I'm walking down the fairway, which is just too funny to me. But, yeah, it's been an amazing experience, and I don't want it to end.
I've been out here a couple times where people said, is that him? Is that Dylan? Is it?
He's more famous than I am, I promise you that. Yesterday, Jason Day was walking by, and he just said hi to me and my family, and then all of a sudden he turns around and he goes, do you want to be on my bag? To Dylan. And I mean, that's when I really was like, wow, J-Day knows my boys. So that's pretty cool.
That is cool. So Parkway Central's just a few miles from here. I mean, Just put that in perspective.
Yeah, I mean, geez, Parkway Central's, a mile and a half from here, I think, right down the Dew. And I mean, it's never in my life, like when I did come here in 1992 to watch the PGA. There is no way in the world I would have thought I would be here, because I didn't even play high school golf. We were talking about walking down the fairways. I'm going, the guys on the college or on the high school golf team must be like, why didn't he play on the team? Because I only played my senior year because I was playing tennis instead. So, it's pretty funny. But it works out beautifully. Thank you.
And then overall, just year-round and looking ahead to tomorrow, what would you want to improve from
today? That's my irons. My mid-irons killed me. I'm in the middle of the fairway with 8 irons, and I'm missing the greens, putting myself in tough spots, you know. The driver was fine. The putter, you know, I had a couple 3-putts, but whatever, you know, that happens. But, it's just the mid-irons. I'm going to go work on them here after lunch and get it dialed in. I'm going to go 500 tomorrow and make the cut.
Go get them tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Michael Block on KMOX.
Thank you.
Three putts, not only do they happen, that's the strength of my game, Tom Ackerman. Come on, how are you?
I'm doing great. It was so much fun spending time with Michael Block this morning. Shoots a five over, and then he says, five under. That's what I'm doing tomorrow, and I'm going to make the cut at even par.
Hey, good you never him. Know. You never know what could happen. You know who's five under today, though? Ricky Fowler.
Ricky was great today. Ricky played a terrific round of golf, and you know, he's never won a major. And what a better place than St. Louis, Missouri. He's a fan of the Cardinals. I know fans here really like Ricky. I personally have always, you know, pulled for any player who hasn't won a major, who would be considered to be the best player who hasn't won a major, and I think that's him. And so that would be a nice story for sure. There are a lot of storylines that would work really well, and Ricky winning it would be a great one. But it's only one round. There's a lot of golf still to be played, and right now Ricky Fowler has the lead at 5-under. Shot a 5-under 65. Just a good, solid round of golf all around. He just did everything very well, and he's being chased down by a few players that can get him. I mean, Ian Poulter has played very well this year. He's 3-under. Jason Day, I think the best putter in the world, 10 feet in, and maybe a little bit beyond that.
I'm rooting for Pat Perez, who's 3-under, just because I liked his loud orange shirt this morning. It's not like a Ricky Fowler orange shirt. It's like a big, ugly orange shirt that you'd wear at sort of a weekend get-together with the family that you don't like anymore. But I like him. I like that guy. I don't know much about him.
You know who he played a practice round with yesterday?
No, who's that?
John Daly.
Oh, perfect.
So you know where
he's inspired by. And John Daly's on the course right now.
Yes, he
you
is.
You had a great conversation with him yesterday that we played here on my show. Let me ask this, Tom. Dan Reardon joined me in the last hour. Since I've been on the air, I haven't been able to follow the golf as much this afternoon. Are you seeing changes in the way that these scores are coming in this afternoon because of the warm conditions and maybe a little drying of the softness out there that we keep hearing about? Because a lot of those shots, even off the tees this morning, if they're in the rough, they're getting deep down into that rough because it's still wet in many places.
Yeah, it's an interesting way to look at it. I'm not sure. I think that there are still some players out there who can shoot low numbers. One of them, you know, Jordan Spieth has, to this point, not had a spectacular round. We'll kind of update the leaderboard as we roll along here. But, you know, Spieth, I think, can... There are a lot of players who I think could shoot well.
Look,
much it's really going to dry out. I mean, it's hot, yes, but it's humid. These aren't weather conditions that are going to dry out what's already a pretty soaked golf course a couple of days ago. It's still going to be soft greens, soft fairways. I think they cut down the rough a little bit today, but soft fairways, so the ball's not rolling extremely far, and the approach shots are still sticking into the greens pretty good. So, you know, we'll see how that changes tomorrow when players tee off in the morning, and then we get into Friday, and if there's any threat of rain, how that changes.
Well, I think there is, right? Mm-hmm. We'll get people updated on that, but it looks like there's a possibility for some weather tomorrow and on Saturday. But this so far, Tom, and I know that you spoke with a lot of the players, the practice rounds were packed. I thought it was crowded out here yesterday, all right, and the day before. But today, and today's not even sold out, if you were caught up in one of those big galleries, you couldn't move and you were sweating, but it was still fun. People are having a great time. Friday, Saturday, Sunday are going to be jam-packed out here. What would you say as far as, it was funny because we texted each other this morning. I knew you were out here. I didn't know where you were. I said, I'm on 17 tee box. You said, I'm under the tree at 17 tee box, but we couldn't see each other because the crowds were so large. What's your insider tip for people coming out here? Because what I've said is get out here early. Maybe go on the back nine. I went on the front nine this morning to hole six, and there was nobody there. Found a little spot under the tree. The big names weren't coming through. You got to wait for them sometime. You can find spots to watch some good golf or just in the middle of the fairway if you know where the balls are landing. Right behind us on 18 right now, there's nobody there.
No, there isn't. I would say that the best, let's say you're following a huge group. So today you had Justin Thomas, Tiger Woods, and Rory McIlroy. It's about as big a power trio as you're going to get in a tournament like this. So how you follow them is you get ahead of them. So what I did today is I got ahead of the group. They teed off on 10. I avoided 10 and 11 as best I could because 11 is going to get totally choked up. It's a small, a short par 4. And then I ended up catching the group that was ahead of them a couple of holes, Phil Mickelson, Jason Day, and Keegan Bradley. And I watched them play 14, and then I waited, and I watched Here come Tiger and Rory and JT. They come through and play. Now it's a massive crowd around me. So for me to get from 14 green to 15 tee is going to be tough. So what did I do? Skipped ahead again. And this time I went to 17, where you were. 17 tee, beautiful view. Probably the signature hole here at
Par 5.
Par 5, 597 yards. I wanted to see these guys hit bombs off the tee. So I waited. I saw the group ahead of Phil. Then here came Phil and Jason Day and Keegan Bradley. And I watched them all tee off. And I never even saw you, but we were at the same tee box.
Right, right.
But I was underneath a tree to just stay in the shade.
Yeah, you were in the shade.
I think if I'm out on the golf course, if I'm our listeners right now and I want to find a good strategy, that's what I would do. Stay ahead. So I watched Phil in the group, and then later Tiger in the group hit off a 17, and then I skipped ahead to 18 green. See my strategy here? I waited at 18 green for those groups to come in, and I watched them hole out, and everybody was happy, including me. But I found shade, except for 18 green, which there's not a lot. But everywhere else, I found a shady spot that I could sit there and wait it out. That's, I think, the way to go. And then on the front nine, six is a great spot. There's lots
great
of shade
spot
there. It's the 17 and 6 are the two holes that are going to change this tournament. It's a long par 3, and it's a great place to see multiple holes.
Yeah, just as an example, if you're on the right side, if you're facing the green on 6, you're on the right side where there's some trees. The fifth hole fairway is about right there where they're hitting their approach shots. So that's a good spot. And then the other thing is what I keep saying, and this will be after the cut. You come out here Saturday, Sunday morning when the cut's been made and you got big names that are probably not in contention realistically. You can have a lot of fun, get very close to these golfers, and see some outstanding action. But overall, it's a great week so far.
It's a great week. A couple of other spots. 8 green is a good spot to see multiple holes, multiple tee shots. 14 green, I think, is a very good spot. If you're looking for autographs, this isn't the time for you. The players are not going to really sign.
They're focused on their game.
Unless it's convenient for them for some reason. That was really for the practice rounds, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They are very locked in. They also have a lot of media obligations with the networks that are here. So they go from playing to signing their card to their media obligations, whatever sponsor obligations they have, and then they go. It's not no disrespect to any of the fans. But let me say this about the players because they're all saying it. They are thrilled with the fans here. Justin Thomas said just a little while ago, he said, this was pretty wild for a Thursday. So
wait till tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday.
Can you imagine?
It was wild.
If Ricky Fowler and Justin Thomas, and then, this guy who we haven't even mentioned yet, who shot even par today and is only 5 shots off the lead after a terrible start, Tiger Woods is still right there. I mean, he played pretty well. He rallied. I was at 18.
He did rally, right.
He rallied. He hit a shot from about 185 yards, 4 feet from the pin on 18. That stadium,
he must have missed that putt, though, right?
No, he made it.
Oh, did he birdie?
Yeah, he birdied 18.
Oh, that was 18. I'm confusing it with 9. I'm sorry, because 9 was his last
hole. His last hole.
Right.
So he birdied 18 to get himself at 2 over. Then he came to 1, and he birdied 1. And now he's starting to roll a little bit, and he finally got one more birdie to get himself at even par. He was pretty happy with himself.
Well,
he's only one shot behind Justin Thomas.
Well, because he went bogey, double bogey to start his round today. So
yes, he did. He was sweating so much that he had to change shirts. He actually brought an extra shirt with him. He went into a bathroom and changed shirts because he had already sweated through the first one. It's hot and humid. This guys can feel it out there, but a pretty good round for the 42-year-old.
Look in here. I got my backup shirt in my backpack because I learned from yesterday. Tom Ackerman, the sports staff is having a blast. It's about having fun and really getting some awesome interviews and material to the listeners. So thanks for swinging by the booth. Have fun out here. You're back on tomorrow morning. You can see all our coverage online at KMOX.com as well.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Let me just mention real quick, Tiger Woods at even par. Rory McIlroy is even right now. The leader is Ricky Fowler at 5 under. Just a couple of scores I wanted to pass along. John Daly is 1 over after 9. So he's just kind of, having a good day today.
Is he smoking on the course?
No, I don't think that's...
He used to.
I don't think that's appropriate. Jordan Spieth...
It's not, but he used to.
I told you, Jordan Spieth, slow out of the gate. He's 2 over through 6. Brooks Koepka, the back-to-back U.S. Open champion, slow out of the gate. He's 2 over through 7.
Dustin Johnson is -1 right now through 7.
Right. So
Bubba's -1 through 7.
Your top right now, the ones to watch, Ricky Fowler, 5 under. There's a let's see, 6-7 eight-way tie for 3-under. Cook, Poulter, Perez, Day, Gay, Sink, Schneider, Jones, and Kyle Stanley. And then there are a whole bunch at 2-under. So,
and you got some big names only playing through a few holes, like Sergio, John Rahm, Justin Rose. They're all minus one just through 3 or 4 holes. So a lot can happen before this day is over. We think that, you know, that 65 might hold, but it wouldn't shock me this afternoon if someone put up a 63 or 64. It really wouldn't.
I agree with you. I think that the winner of this tournament will be in double digits and could be as good as 15, 16 under before it's all said and
done. I put it at minus 17, so we'll see how that holds. Tom, I'll talk to you a little bit later this afternoon. We'll hear you tomorrow. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Our own Tom Ackerman with us live from the National Car Rental Studio here at Belrive Country Club for the 100th PGA Championship.
Live from the 100th PGA Championship at Belrive Country Club and the National Car Rental Studios, it's Mark Reardon.
Never pick up a lost ball while it is still rolling.
Now, back to Mark Reardon on your official PGA Championship information station, KMOX.
Well, unless you're Phil Mickelson at the U.S. Open and you grab it with your putter to avoid a penalty. Good afternoon, live out here at the PGA Championship, and what a day as the first round is still underway and some pretty good numbers up there, especially from the leader, Ricky Fowler, but plenty of big names on the course. Speaking of big names, ladies and gentlemen, they're all over this course, and I tracked a couple of them down here this afternoon. The first person that I welcome into the show has an official show open.
And now, the official state office holder of the Mark Reardon Show. It's Eric Schmidt, official state office holder of the Mark Reardon Show.
Oh, he's waving his arms, greeting the balls on the practice range. I'm not sure. There's nobody
so,
out
by the way,
can I
just say, any practice range that I've ever been on with people that I play golf with, this would be totally unsafe territory.
Yeah.
Right off
no,
the side.
No, isn't it funny?
But these guys, it's just they don't miss a beat. Every ball is exactly where they want to hit them.
There might be every once in a while a few that are out here, but most of them are right in the middle of the fairway. But you heard me talking about my master plan, and since you're the state treasurer, I think you are appropriate to create the diversion. Just go out there after we're done with the segment. I'm going to grab a few balls because they're not range balls. They're really good. Also with me this afternoon, he's a newly elected member to the state legislature and the only Democrat that I endorsed and may ever endorse, my friend Steve Butts from South City, St. Louis in the Holly Hills area. How are you, Steve?
Mark, I'm doing well. It was a nail-biter of a primary.
Yeah, so, well, primary, but because, come on, let's be honest, the Republican in that district, it's not going to happen, right? Is there even someone on the ballot?
No, there isn't.
Okay, so you're in, right? Fine. We do a write-in ballot for my buddy Mike Fitzgerald. You know Fitz. He lives down on Dover. So I'm going to write in Fitz. Well, I can't do that. I don't live there anymore. Congratulations. How close was it?
Thanks very much. It was close. Stayed up late Tuesday night, only by 90 votes, and we had a huge turnout.
Eric, you know, you see this, and I think we see it in almost every election now. You can't say ever that your vote doesn't matter. Look at the narrow numbers. The guy
in
St. Charles that
Ron
won
Hicks.
By 4 votes, right?
4 votes. So, yeah. You know, and actually that is, when you're running in state rep or state senate races in particular, we're really knocking on a lot of doors. You keep that in the back of your mind, too, because you don't know. You hope it goes your way by a large margin, but it could come down to 1 vote per precinct or 4 votes. And so, yeah, just all that hard work pays off.
Well, were you guys just as shocked, I think, as certainly I was or anyone else that Bob McCullough lost that race?
Yeah.
Did you see that coming at all?
So I will tell you this. So I live in Glendale. So I live in a part of St. Louis County that it can be a swing area. Glendale's a little more Republican. Webster's more Democrat. But I was seeing Wesley Bell yard signs in place. Yard signs don't vote, and people probably overemphasize their importance. But when you start seeing...
Not Steve Butts' yard signs, man. I saw them everywhere in Holly Hills.
But when you see those signs in certain places, you get a sense that maybe there is some momentum for a particular candidate. And I was seeing some of those signs, but I was definitely surprised. I was shocked.
Steve, I know you're in the city, but, I mean, that was really a stunner.
Especially the margin, but
people
want change, and nothing surprises me anymore. I'm sure Jane Duker tells you that all the time. You just don't know.
I try not to listen to what she says.
Well, she says a lot of good things, but anyway, you know, it does emphasize how important every single person's vote is.
You know, we're out here for a live roundtable tomorrow. Jane will be here, and also Chris Goodson, and thinking that we're going to sneak. So, Jeff Rainford, too. My brain is not functioning quite as well because of the heat, but let's get your impressions here, Steve, on the PGA Championship. What an event here for St. Louis.
It is a beautiful event. This is a great course. This is a wonderful event for St. Louis. You know, this is the whole eyes of the world are on St. Louis. Nothing but good news coming from here. I did start out, I was watching Jordan Spieth He started out on one with a double bogey, and then his.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, double
that's
bogey.
Kind of what Tiger did this morning,
his,
too. Bogey.
Yeah, his caddy slipped a couple of us a 50 and said, "Go away."
Yeah, right.
Go find Ricky Fowler.
I literally to try to because I've been just watching, you know, just the fan, and I literally almost ran over Matt Kuchar and his family trying to get
Kuch.
Over here. They were right there, and then Daly was right here next to us, and he had on his Cardinal pants. I think he's got the Cardinal logo on those pants.
Tom Ackerman
can verify that. I'm not sure.
Does John Daly have the Cardinals logo on his pants? Do you know?
Does he have a logo on his pants today? I don't know.
Cardinals logo.
But Daly's just a crowd favorite.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm about to go follow him, so yeah. I'll report back.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a really cool event, and we did a little bit of tracking some of this. It's $100 million impact. There's 10,000 hotel rooms. That are occupied because of this event. And as you said, the eyes of the world, people who watch golf. I mean, this is a major event. And so Belrive, the St. Louis community has just done an unbelievable job of hosting this. What I was most surprised by is the infrastructure in this place. I mean, these are not like...
It's like a little city.
It is. It's not like tents
really
when
is.
You go tailgating and you see these tents set up. I mean, these are structures, and they just did an incredible job.
They won't tell you. You know, I have the guy that runs the championship shop, and we've tried a couple other angles, too. They won't tell us how much it costs to erect all that, but you put a number on it. It's got to be in excess of $50,000 just to build that thing over there across from where
sure.
we're sitting, right?
For yeah. sure.
With all the labor and the equipment and the time spent on that. Before I let you guys go, and Eric, thanks for swinging by. I hope you have fun out here for the rest of the weekend. Are you coming out any other days?
I'm going to the state fair tomorrow. So but I wanted to make sure I got here and witnessed it.
Sedalia, Missouri.
That's right. I'll see the butter cow in about 24 hours.
Steve Butts, I want to mention, because I texted you a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you have made this connection with Steve, but his brother, Norbert Leo Butts, is a 2-time Tony Award-winning actor. He was just nominated for another Tony Award.
That's
he
awesome.
Is one of the stars of My Fair Lady. He was in the show Bloodline on Netflix, and I just took a flyer because Steve was nice enough to set me up with Norb last year for a KMOX profile, and I didn't know him, but I teased him about Springsteen on Broadway. I'm like, man, can you get me tickets? He said, I can't even get tickets. So I got his number from Steve. I texted him in January. He probably thought I was a crazy guy. He was my guest for Springsteen on Broadway. And we hit it off because he's got two older kids.
He does.
And a younger daughter, yep. like
That's
I do.
Right. Absolutely.
And I traded him the ticket. I said, he offered to pay. I said, you know what? I'm going to bring my wife or my son. I brought my son, who was 18, going to Mizzou, and he showed us backstage. And he was really, he did two shows that day, a matinee and the evening show last Saturday or a couple Saturdays ago. He was worn out. You know, the voice was going a little bit, but what a great show. He's nothing against the other stars of that show. You're going to see it later this month, right?
One week from Friday.
So I was eavesdropping a lot in the lobby during intermission and stuff just to see what people are saying. He is a scene stealer. And you know that because you know your brother. But he steals every scene. He's got big numbers. It's immensely entertaining. And if you can get to New York and see Norbert in that, I think he's going to be in the run until October and then switch gears to something else.
The Lincoln Center, right?
Yeah.
And my wife, Angie, our youngest kid, Grace, just moved up to New York City, got her first big girl
job. I didn't know that.
After graduating from KU. So the last of six is off the dole.
So the reason that Steve...
So, by the way, I watched Bloodline. My wife and I, we watched that
series. So he plays Kevin. That's Kevin.
My brother. Sitting next to you, I see the resemblance.
Yes.
You're not quite as crazy as he is.
Yeah, he's not doing cocaine or drunk right now. Right, exactly.
But I totally see it.
He's a great guy. He really is. And a talented family. And look, let's be very clear about something here with Steve Butts, Eric, and you will appreciate this. The only reason, and I mean the only reason he wanted to be in the legislature is so he can be on the Reardon Roundtable.
That's
you know what? The draw is powerful.
Steve, we're going to get you on that roundtable, all right,
buddy?
All right,
buddy? Mark, thanks.
It's good to see you. Thanks for coming by, all right? Have fun
thanks
in New York, Eric. Great to see you.
Good
the official
you.
State office holder. Butts is going to hit me up for a title before I know it.
Live from the 100th PGA Championship at Belrive Country Club and the National Car Rental Studios, it's Mark Reardon.
The reason the game is called golf is because all the other four-letter words have been taken.
Now, back to Mark Reardon on your official PGA Championship information station, KMOX.
Christian Toto with me this afternoon from Hollywood in Toto, one of the rare, if not along with me, and Michael Medved, maybe only three conservative film critics in the country. Wouldn't you say that's about right?
There's a couple more, John Nolte from Breitbart News and Kyle Smith at the National Review, but we are an endangered species, that's for sure.
All right, so I have not seen the Meg. I'm actually going to see it tonight, and I had to skip the screening because of all the PGA stuff. But I'm going to seek it tonight, talk about it tomorrow afternoon, and also on Great Day St. Louis. So I want to talk about that and, you know, your column about taking your son or, you know, kind of picking Jaws over the Meg. We'll get to the shark movie in just a second, but let's talk about the Oscar changes because some interesting things that happened yesterday. They're moving up the awards, and then they have a new popular film category. Where do you stand on this? Is this a good idea or a bad idea?
It's a horrible idea, and I'm not the only one saying it. I think
you're right.
I don't think I've found one person, one on online, on Twitter, on Facebook, in the media, who says, oh, that was a wonderful idea. Everyone's saying this is a terrible idea. It's, you know, there's so many reasons why it's a bad idea. It feels pandering, for starters. So there'll be a best populist movie and then a best actual movie. I mean, it seems jarring on the surface. I'm kind of a stickler for tradition. I mean, the system has worked for a long time. We expanded the categories from 5 to potentially 10 nominees, so I think that was a fairly big change. But what does it mean to be a popular movie? Is it just and in that way, do you just give the award to the movie that makes the most money? Because that seems like that's the populist answer. There's so many questions here. It's so uniformly attacked. And I wouldn't be too surprised if they maybe reverse gears in this. I think it's been that critically attacked where I think maybe the smartest thing to do is maybe we should take it back to the shop and maybe tinker with the idea for a while and then reintroduce it.
Well, yeah, it kind of came out of, I'm sure it didn't come out of nowhere for the Academy, but for the rest of us, and I don't know how they're going to determine which movies are popular. You're right. Is it just box office? I think a lot of the impetus here, Christian, is about Black Panther, which has amazing reviews. I really like the movie. I would not put it in the category of something deserving an Oscar nomination. I like to think of elite films for that. But obviously, and I think a lot of people think that this is the Academy worried about a movie like Black Panther not being nominated for Best Picture, which is likely not to happen, although, you know, maybe nothing's off the board at this point because we've had The Dark Knight and WALL-E snubbed in that category. So, and that was after, by the way, as you know, they changed it from 5 to 10 nominees. So if there's room for a Black Panther here, but is that what this is all about?
You know, in theory, what it's all about is that the ratings keep falling for this show. And I think 25 or so million last time around, that was a new low, or at least a tying a new low. So I understand where they're coming from. As part of the change, they also said, hey, the show will be shorter. It will only be 3 hours. Some of the less substantial awards, and of course it's substantial to the people who are being nominated, but the less substantial awards may not be seen on TV. They may be done, you know, at sort of during commercial breaks at other points. So I appreciate and understand them trying to improve the event itself. That makes sense. But I guess they think, well, if the Black Panther is nominated and other films that are actually popular, maybe more people will tune in. But, I mean, I think that's, you know, there's already a People Choice Awards. There's already an MTV Movie Awards. There are other venues for this. And also, it feels like it's pandering. You know, if Black Panther is a really good movie, and it is, then it should be able to fight for that honor. I think the voters themselves have kind of painted themselves into a corner because when there's a great movie that happens to be populist, they often vote against it.
We both belong to the Broadcast Film Critics Association. We have an action movie category, which sort of picks up the slack on some of these things. Because you could have, for example, if we don't nominate Black Panther, which I think Broadcast Film Critics might nominate Black Panther, but let's say Mission Impossible, really good movie, could be Best Action Movie. There are different award shows that sort of make up the ground. I always think that, and maybe the audiences don't agree with this, but that Oscars should be a little bit more special than that and just focusing on the elite movies. But we've seen this over the years where regular people who go buy popcorn and sit through movies, they have no idea what some of those nominated movies are. They never see them.
Yeah, and part of the problem is what we think of as an Oscar bait movie. Often it doesn't involve comedy. It does sometimes, but rarely. Often it doesn't include horror. Silence of the Lambs swept that year, but that was an exception that proves the rule. So that's part of the problem, too, where people can look at The Dark Knight, which was great, and it was thrilling, and it was smart, and it was compelling, and it was about a guy in a suit. And I think that maybe prevented it from being nominated for Best Picture, which I think was a shame. So I think the problem is more about the voters and their sort of, I don't want to say antiquated, but their tunnel vision when it comes to what should be nominated as opposed to the movies themselves or the awards themselves.
The other categories which will be presented not on television. We did this last year with the Critics' Choice Awards. We streamed the first hour, and then the next 2 hours were on TV. And I think that worked out all right. But then again, you have people that feel like this is their moment, right? Some of the technical awards, they're winning an Oscar. Some of the behind-the-scenes people are just as important to the making of a movie as the actors, perhaps, or the writers, and they deserve some accolades. So I don't know where this is going to go, but I do know that 4 hours of an Oscar telecast is ridiculous, and I'm a movie guy, and you're a movie guy, so we both probably agree on that. Let's talk about the Meg. Am I going to be regretful that I am out here at the PGA Championship? I got another appointment after the show, and then I'm going to go catch the Meg tonight to review it tomorrow. Is that a good decision or a bad decision?
I think it's good. The bigger the screen, the better, for sure. Jason Statham always delivers as an action movie guy. It's a weird movie because I think a lot of it delivers exactly what you want. Big, dumb action shark sequences. And it says, here they are, enjoy, don't think about it too much, because it is a dumb movie. On the other hand, there are many scenes, and it's about 2 hours long, that are about the love story and the relationships, and they're so poorly handled. I'm thinking, hey, guys and gals, just strip this out, give us the shark fun, and move on. Make it an hour and a half, and we're going to have a great time. But the movie feels almost compelled to try to build up characters, but it does it so badly that you wish you just would just go to cut to the chase and avoid all the nonsense.
So you wrote a column, I think it was a few years ago, about why you wanted your son to see Jaws or why your dad wanted you to see Jaws. Was that what it was about?
Well, I mean, Jaws and The Meg are really different movies. I know that sounds silly because they're both about big sharks, but Jaws is a beautiful film. It's a movie that has aged as gracefully as possible. It's scary as heck. But it also has three different main male characters who kind of exhibit different variations on what it means to be a man. You know, Chief Brody is reluctant. He's not a go-go hero. You know, Quint is just an alpha male to the core. And Hooper is more reserved, more intellectual. It's a fascinating kind of sequence of characters, and it shows how, when they're plugged into this really death-defying situation, how they handle it. There's so many things that are great about Jaws, and just the shots, the music, the characters, the scares, everything. But when I watched it again with my kids, that's what popped out to me.
Yeah, you know, and I haven't seen that movie in a long time. I've seen little bits and pieces when I run across it. By the way, I thought that the book was outstanding. I don't know if you ever read The Deep, or The Deep wasn't a very good movie. That was another great book by Peter Benchley. But Jaws was a really, really great book. All right, so I'm going to take your word for it that The Meg is going to be worth my time. I'll report back to everyone tomorrow. Are there a couple of, you know, I've been out of it, Christian, a couple of weeks just because of some things going on. Are there any other openings this week? I can't even remember.
Well, Black Klansman is opening. I don't know how far and wide. I think it's a decent amount of theaters it'll be in. This is a new Spike Lee movie. Spike Lee hasn't made a good movie, in my eyes, in a very long time. This one's an exception. It's based on a true story about a black cop, the first black cop in Colorado Springs, Colorado, who infiltrates the KKK. It's interesting. It's thoughtful. It certainly has some of Spike Lee's sort of hard-charging politics in there, but I think for the most part, the story comes first, and it's a real humdinger of a story. So I think from that perspective, it's worth your time.
The website is HollywoodInToto.com. Christian Toto, thanks for coming on. Have a great week, and we'll see you soon.
All right. Stand by. Playback
ready. Now, the audio cut of the day.
Cut of the day this afternoon, live from the PGA Championship, is sponsored by the Good Feet Store. Pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. John Daly, a fan favorite. I was talking to the PGA historian earlier this afternoon. You can go online through Sunday and vote for your favorite moment, your best PGA Championship ever. I would say 91. I know Tiger was great. There have been a lot of historic PGA Championships. John Daly in 91, Crooked Stick. Here he is talking about that amazing victory.
When you look back on that moment at Crooked Stick, what do you think that did for John Daly's career?
Well, it did everything. I mean, and then to, you know, luckily win the British in 95 just to see if you could do it again. But, no, it was everything, you know. I mean, I came from nothing, and all this money come pouring in. Agents are actually making me money, and things were good. It was just it was a rude awakening. I mean, I just couldn't realize, you know, back then what winning that would have done for me.
Yeah, now back out on the Champions Tour and kind of winding down the career of John Daly, so to speak. How's your experience been out there?
It's more laid back. You know, it's playing three rounds, and most tournaments you ride in a car, which I love. If we could wear shorts, I'd probably be playing a little better. I'm just kidding.
You've won out there. That's pretty darn good. I saw that win in Houston.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it doesn't matter if the senior tour or the web.com or whatever. It's just hard to win, Bobby. Yeah. You know, these guys are all so good. Our guys on our senior tour, their short game is still just as good as when they played in the 90s and 80s and all that. So it's...
How about Bernhard in the British Open this year, huh?
Unbelievable. I mean, it's just unbelievable how great he is and how he just keeps continuing to always be on our leaderboards and winning. And you know, I play with him. He just doesn't miss hit a golf shot, and he makes everything. So I guess, is that what you're supposed to do?
Yeah, and he's 60 years old and doesn't hit it all that far anymore.
He looks 20 years younger than me.
Thanks for visiting with us, John.
You got it. Thanks, Bobby.
Well, I think a lot of people John Daly's age look a little younger than John Daly, but he's had a lot of fun, and he's right now just plus one in this championship. Ricky Fowler in the clubhouse with a 65. He holds the lead, the outright lead, minus five. Leaderboard updates coming up during Total Information PM on KMOX live from the National Car Rental Studio at Bell Reef Country Club, the 100th PGA Championship.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.